Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio with your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer. Get ready to shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in these modern times. Bring purpose to your life through practical spirituality and add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now, here are your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer.
Hello, listeners. Happy New Year and welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. My name is Steve Kramer and I'm joined by my co-host, Dr. Dorothy Riddle. Hello, Dorothy.
Hi, Steve. Really glad to be here. Happy New Year to everyone also.
Yes, wonderful to be starting a new year and a new topic as always. We always start a new topic at the beginning of a new month. So this is like lots of newness going on. And may it be so, Dorothy, right, that the newness of what we're going to talk about really takes hold throughout the year, yeah?
Yes, absolutely, particularly with this topic, yeah.
Yes, for sure. So listeners, what is that topic, right? Well, we are going to be talking this entire month about inclusive social action. So you may not have heard those three words together before. Perhaps you have if you are regular listeners to the radio show. We have mentioned that the School for Esoteric Studies, which Dorothy is a part of, is really focusing on this concept of the importance of inclusive action and ways to implement that into your everyday life and hopefully into the lives of humanity and into the life of this planet. Talk about that this entire month. So I look so forward to it. I look forward to really learning as we go. You know, there's so much to talk about. We both run educational nonprofits with a focus on spirituality and particularly how to bring that spirituality into your everyday life in practical ways. And there's this misconception, right, Dorothy, that, you know, to lead a spiritual life is to lead this life of harmony and peace and joy and balance, which may be so. But you know, what happens when that harmony bumps up against chaos? You know, when that peace, you know, is not always the case. There is a time to deal with the other. You know, it is not that the spiritual life somehow insulates you from all of that. And we would hope not, because it is the, you know, spiritually, I would say, balanced and conscious person that is able to go out in the world and actually take a look at social issues and confront them. And hopefully in this month, we will offer you some insights into ways to take action so that we can see a more inclusive a world that harmlessness, and one in which harmlessness is the keynote as opposed to harm. Any words you'd like to say, Dorothy, to just start the month?
Well, thanks, Steve. Yeah, this one of the reasons why the School for Esoteric Studies has started a focus on this, and I'll just mention right now that if you go to our website at esotericstudies.net, you'll see a menu item, Inclusive Social Action. And we have a series of white papers that we've issued and that we'll be talking about this month. But mainly what we're, just to preview what we're getting at, is the fact that while many people develop excellent practices in terms of what we could generally talk about as random acts of kindness, you know, of being in the world in a gentle and loving way, we also know that part of our responsibility, part of our spiritual responsibility, is to prevent harm, to stop harm. And we're seeing a lot of this very blatantly in the world right now, where actions are being taken that are directly harmful. And so what we're going to be focusing on this month is how do we stand up against that? How do we confront that? How do we say no further? without increasing divisiveness. So how do we do that compassionately? And Steve, you and I were talking yesterday about the fact that this is actually a paradigm that we are not used to. You know, we're used to either being indifferent or being loving or being critical, but to be compassionately, saying no, it's like applying tough love to social issues. So I really look forward to our discussions because I think there's a lot for us to discover together.
Yes,
as we talk about it.
Super. So on today's show specifically, we're going to sort of suss out, you know, this meaning of inclusive social action and why it is important today, every day, right, Dorothy?
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. So should we start the year off? I'm wondering, you usually start with a quote.
I've got a couple to start us off with that may help us get into the issue. And maybe we can, I won't just read them, but maybe we can just chat a bit about each one as I read them. The first one, which is, I think, quite well known to our radio audience because we've referred to it before, is by Edmund Burke. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Mm. And so this is that whole reminder that indifference is not an option if we want to create goodwill in the world.
Yeah, and that word evil, you know, is quite a word, right, Dorothy? You know, in lots of esoteric literature, that word evil appears. And so I know in certain circles of mine, in student circles, we'll spend quite a bit of time talking about that word evil. Mm-hmm. And what does that word evil mean? And we always sort of come to this conclusion that evil is a force. It is a bit like a cancer in that it annihilates, you know, it spreads, it sort of, it begins to encompass. And good folks may want to just go about their way, but it's like evil is, it spreads, you know, it will eventually reach them. And we need the support of others if we're going to face evil. So to do nothing, to think, oh, it, you know, I'm okay over here and evil's way far over there, it's not the case. You know, it's not unlike good cells needing a healthy immune system to defend against cancer. You need the support of the whole system. And so when you see evil humans, it's almost like an autoimmune disease where we forget that we're a part, as we've talked about so much, we're a part of a greater group, of a one life, of a human family. Mm-hmm. And when humans are attacking other humans, it's a lot like an autoimmune disease where the system is attacking itself and something needs to be really righted and rebalanced.
And I think that there are ways in which this term has it's fallen out of use, or people kind of have avoided it. To me, the way I think of it is it's intentional harm. So, you know, as I go through my day, even though I try to live in a manner, there are small things that I do, I mean, hopefully small, not big things, that I may do that are thoughtless, you know, that may not be the best way that I could be with somebody else. That's different than intentionally setting out to harm or hurt someone and often getting pleasure from that action. So, you know, we need to think about that. And I have another quote that uses the same word, Steve, that I think is worth considering. This is from Sophocles. All concerns of men go wrong when they wish to cure evil with evil. And so this is part of what this inclusive social action concept is. Yeah. Is you can't effectively stop harm with harm.
Yeah.
And we see this in world conflicts, where if one group is clearly defeated, what happens is they resist, right? They rise up again. We need to stop that cycle. we need to find ways to end harm without generating more harm.
It's that Einstein quote that we hear so much, where you can't solve a problem by using the same kind of thinking you use to create the problem. So you've really take it to a new level, which listeners and Dorothy, I'm so excited about this month, because this concept of inclusive social action really does take it to the next level. You know, that first quote is about the action aspect of it, that you can't just sit around and do nothing. It is there. You know, it is it is almost omnipresent. And yeah, you've got to find a way to stop this without creating further divisiveness, which is the inclusive and social aspect of it. So it's really quite compelling. Yes. Mm-hmm. Dorothy, so that word evil, I just want to say, you know, I'm dyslexic, so I often see words as shapes, and I learned to speak through just learning these different shapes. So whenever I see evil, I realize that it's the word live backwards.
Very good.
And that, you know, really it is sucking the life. It is taking life and flipping it on its, you know, its tail end. That, you know, evil is there to do that, to reverse this process and this natural flow of life. So,
The third one I wanted to share, Steve, is a poem that, again, will be very familiar to everyone, but it to me is really illustrates the whole issue about not abdicating our responsibility. And this was by the German Lutheran pastor Martin Niemöller, who wrote in the Second World War, "First they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out, because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out, because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out, because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me."
Mm. Yes. Powerful.
Very Set. Powerful.
Take action. First stanza, right? Yeah.
That's right. So, Steve, maybe we can dive in with some definitions that may be helpful.
Just before we start, I just want to let you know we have a minute left in the first segment. So,
okay, I'm going to give a definition. People can be thinking about it during the break.
That sounds really cool.
Okay, so inclusive social action is intentional action to stop specific violence for any harmful intent in a manner that does not further divisiveness. And we use the term inclusive because the action needs to be grounded in a sense that we are all in this together rather than being adversaries. The people that I may violently disagree with, I may find their practices horrendous, still are part of the human family. I am energetically connected to them. And so we want to make sure that we're keeping in mind that inclusivity and building a stronger sense of inclusivity.
Intentional action. Yeah, I love that. Mm-hmm. Necessary. We all act and react quite quickly, but if we've got the intention of no further divisiveness, of harmlessness, which is quite something to ponder, you know, how do I do this without creating harm in any way, shape, or form? It gets very complex. So we're going to go to our first break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about this concept of inclusive social action. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Barbara Scheidegger, clinical hypnotherapist and founder of Swiss Hypnotherapy. And this is a tip with purpose. Being wrong or making mistakes is human. What have you learned from it? Start laughing about the silly things you did. Yeah, laugh about it. Being happy is more important than being always right. Start listening to your feedback. Be willing to redefine yourself every day. Communication with yourself and others who already are successful in their lives. Stay balanced. And when you fall off the wagon, don't dwell on it. Just hop back on. Forgive yourself. Admit what you did. move on, and smile. I hope this tip helps you. You can reach me at 323-999-4775 or at my website at swisshypnotherapy.com.
Please join us for a transformational conference with five, that's right, five of the leading pioneers in the fields of science and spirituality, all in one place. Join best-selling authors and teachers Greg Braden, Dr. Bruce Lipton, Lynn McTaggart, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and Lee Carroll in both individual workshops as well as a weekend of keynote presentations and panel discussions. At this extraordinary event, you'll get to experience some of the brightest leaders of our world today, empowering you with groundbreaking new information, deep wisdom, and practical tools to transform your life. Come connect with others and expand your consciousness in beautiful Nanaimo on Vancouver Island in British Columbia, June 14th through 19th. For more information or to register for what some are expecting to be one of the best conferences of 2018, visit shalohaproductions.com. That's S-H-A-L-O-H-A productions.com. Or visit the individual speakers' websites.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Main. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmain.com.
Stay juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. Transform your relationships and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
Welcome back, listeners, to Spirit Fire Radio. We're going to continue our discussion on inclusive social action. But first, just a bit about our organizations. I mentioned earlier that both Dorothy and I are involved with educational nonprofits. Dorothy, would you like to say a few words about the School for Esoteric Studies?
Yes, thanks, Steve. So you can find out more about the School for Esoteric Studies at esotericstudies.net. We provide training for persons who have a spiritual practice that they wish to deepen. And in addition to that individual work, we also have a number of group initiatives. This whole initiative of white papers on inclusive social action is one example. And as I mentioned earlier, you can find those papers on our website at esotericstudies.net. We have been, the first paper has been circulated and we've gotten responses from organizations in a number of countries welcoming this focus and wanting to work together to explore how it is that we can actually implement this concept. So that's very exciting to us. And as an institution, we welcome any form of collaboration with other organizations. Like-minded organizations. And this radio program is an example of that. And I want to thank you again, Steve, for the opportunity to work collaboratively with Spirit Fire to create Spirit Fire Radio.
Oh, how kind. It is our pleasure and my personal pleasure indeed. Creative endeavors are so rewarding. Yes. Spirit Fire is an educational nonprofit as well. Our mission is to cultivate consciousness and educate people on the importance of that consciousness and ways in which they can bring that into their day-to-day, into everyday lives, making spirituality practical. We have our own meditation practice called the Practice of Living Awareness, which is a primary way in which we do that. We've got a meditation center in Western Massachusetts. We've got lots of great meditation retreats coming up this year, a whole new round, and an online meditation practice. We also have online classes. And you can find out more about Spirit Fire at spiritfire.com. Dorothy, right back into it, huh?
Okay.
So what I want to mention, you know, because I so appreciate that we have arrived at this point of talking about inclusive social action, even just last month, talking about what it means to be a cosmic citizen. And we talked quite a bit about the principles that we had talked about before, which are so important that we create our own reality, this idea of participating every moment of your waking life in creating a reality that, you know, that generates goodwill and consciousness, or at least having that intention or understanding that we create our own reality, that we are interdependent, that we are interconnected. These concepts take a certain level of maturity, and they are so important within this idea of inclusive social action, you know, that we can say no to another, but it is not, you know, it is not in resistance to them, but it is resistant, but it is in acceptance of them as a human being and wanting to see, you know, harm turned around into harmlessness. It's complex, yeah?
It is. And one of the points that I think is really meaningful that you've raised with me is this concept. What we're talking about is a change both in focus and in process. That in terms of focus, that we're looking at becoming highly sensitized to harm, to different forms of harm, different forms particularly of intentional harm that need to be stopped. And then we're looking at a process. How do we stop something without further intensifying it and creating further divisiveness? And so that, I think, is, you know, that's our challenge. That's what it is we want to be exploring this month. And it means that we have to take these hateful dynamics seriously. We have to recognize them. We can't change them unless we pay attention and we identify that something has to end. Not that we can do everything ourselves. We work together, right? But we need to do our part.
Well, that's one of the most fascinating ahas, you know, that I had as I was really moving into this subject and contemplating, pondering it, and doing some research, is that when I first saw it as inclusive social action, as the you know, the means to, that we are wanting to see inclusivity, and so we are becoming, in a way, activists. You know, we are intentionally saying no. We are intentionally finding ways, alternatives to harm and divisiveness. And so I saw it as inclusive in that is the goal. And what I'm realizing, mm-hmm. that it's also the process, that we need each other, that we need, mm-hmm. to be inclusive in ways that we generate, that we've got ways, you know, that we've got alternatives to the ways in which people are harming one another. We've got to offer a way out. We've got to offer, mm-hmm. an alternative. So we've got to be ready, you know, to not, mm-hmm. only stand up, but offer an alternative. And that takes group effort. It takes a village, you know, as, mm-hmm. Hillary would say. So that inclusive social action is the process, and it is the result, which is beautiful.
Right. And I want to put another word out there, and that is respect. Because, and I know I've done this myself, one can get in a position of thinking that anyone who is not trying to work on this issue, you know, isn't with it, doesn't understand. And I think it's really critical to recognize that there are so many fronts on which action is needed, inclusive social action is needed. We need to respect the fact that you may be working on this piece of it while I'm working on this piece of it, and see our actions as interrelated energetically, and support each other, but not expect everybody to be doing the same thing.
Well, that's what came up to me too, is support another person's process is so important. And somebody's process might be internal. You know, I do believe that we're not just saying we're going to go out and tackle, you know, sexism, ageism, racism, you know, economic injustice, mm-hmm. sexual harassment. These are huge. Even the ideas of gender identity and issues that surround them, these are very complex issues. The world today is very complex. And we in that we have got a 24-hour news cycle, we've got social media, the internet has allowed us to peer into other individuals' lives in ways that we've never experienced before. This is all new. And I believe this is all arising because it's a new calling to action. But it's not that we are all going to have the capacity to turn some of these issues on their ear and turn them around. For some, you know, it is in the everyday life. It is looking at ways in which the language you use is supportive and is harmless. It's looking at your own interior in ways in which you can generate alignment and awareness and ground so that you've got the ability to go out into the world and see and recognize where harm is being done and come at it from that place of the heart-mind connection, which is compassionate, sees everybody, wants goodwill for everybody. And so everybody's going to be working at this on a different level, and it's that understanding and respect and support for each other, but an intention that we are all working on inclusivity, and that is mm-hmm. really the goal. It's quite big. You can feel into it. It feels exciting and new, right?
Mm-hmm. The key, in addition to what you were saying, is taking a stand. You know, that's what social action is all about, is taking a stand to stop specific violence. And it can, as you said, it can be small, you know, in interaction with one person. It can be large. I may have shared this example before, Steve, but I'd like to share it again because it has helped me as I remember it. I was in a situation, this is some years ago, where I was close with someone, and she was in an abusive relationship with a man. I knew it. I had seen the violence. I was in her home. She wasn't there. I was in her home, and this man who also lived there came in, and he was very angry. And I could see that he was looking for a target, and he came to me. He was large. He came over to me. And he was kind of towering over me, and I could just feel, it was like this energy just rippling off him. And I just stood there very quietly, and I looked him in the eye, and I said, "You will not harm me." Now, I'm not recommending that this is something that can always work, but what I remember about that incident is that he looked at me kind of in shock, and I repeated it again very clearly, very calmly, and he turned on his heel and he ran out the door. Mm-hmm. And I think what I was doing was I was holding a mirror up to him, and he suddenly saw himself as I was seeing him, and he recognized that this was not something he should be doing, and he left.
Yes. Yes, and you know, you were firm. You mm-hmm. were not going to be the victim to his violence, and said, "I will not, and you will not do this to me."
And I wasn't angry with him. See, that's the whole thing about not escalating, right?
Yeah.
I was just stating that this will not happen. Now, again, I want to say that I've watched enough domestic violence to know that it is not necessarily safe to do that.
Yes.
I'm not recommending that everybody try it. But it was a very powerful moment in my own life that I've always remembered. And I remember the muscular feeling, and I remember that what made it work was that I was not saying it out of criticism or anger or hatred. I was stating a fact that he must not behave that way.
Yes, a truth and a fact. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I can sense your ground, right? The firmness of this is the fact right now. So there's a lot to that, though. You know, that's, again, that is a very complex situation. That's not just saying, here's the formula for this situation. There's much to that. Dorothy, we're already at a break, and we're going to continue this discussion when we get back.
Hi, I'm Barbara Scheidegger, clinical hypnotherapist and founder of Swiss Hypnotherapy. My goal is to help you to reach your goal. And this is a tip with purpose. Everybody wants it and nobody has enough of it. But it comes to a point that you have to tell yourself, I can get more. I want more. I deserve more. I'm talking about money. More money, more money, more money. That's what people want. But what has to be done? Your thoughts have to change, that you can allow yourself to tell yourself, I have money and I want more money. How much money? What is it? Put it out there. Write it down. What would you do with more money? How would you feel to have more money? I hope this tip helps you going through the day today. You can reach me at 323-999-4775 or at my website at swisshypnotherapy.com.
Are you your story? Or can you change your story? Can you change what you believe to be true about yourself and your circumstances as part of your healing journey? What if you were to change your expectations? What if you were to invite ease and cooperation into every day and then step back and see what happens? It might just be easier. I'm Megan Edge, and I hope that you'll join me on my new radio show, Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host, Dr. Pat, on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
Want to find out more about Megan Edge? Visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Hi, I'm Steve Kramer of Spirit Fire Radio, and I believe that meditation changes everything. It leads us in the direction of greater well-being, and that's a fact. I struggled with meditation for years. I understood the principles, but I found it hard to incorporate them into my everyday life. Spirit Fire's meditation practice changed that. It's called the Practice of Living Awareness, and it's taught in 14 steps. These are 14 tools that I can use in any moment, on and off the cushion. Steps like smile, flow, and ground of being support my clarity of mind while I'm navigating the ups and downs of modern life. That's why it's called the Practice of Living Awareness. If you'd like to add meditation to your daily experience, the Practice of Living Awareness is free, online, and it's suited for any level of practitioner. Visit spiritfire.com for more information. And be sure to check out Spirit Fire's meditation retreats in Western Massachusetts. It's all there at spiritfire.com. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. Dorothy, I'd love to continue just a little bit of where we left off because it sparked something in me. As I was saying that I could sense your ground in saying no to a perpetrator of domestic violence that you had confronted and was obviously going to include you in these acts of violence, and you just stood firm and said, no, you will not harm me. And he turned on his heels, you said, and left. And this, you know, diverted this situation or this harm from going on anymore. It made me think of this. John Kabat-Zinn talks about that we have to take our seat before we can take a stand. And the idea of that, like taking a seat means, you know, what are we doing when we're taking a seat? We are allowing ourselves to observe. And I think that's an important aspect. You know, you had said you had seen or been aware of a fair share of domestic violence that you knew it straight away and you knew that it could not go on anymore. You were familiar in a way with this type of harm. And I think that's an important aspect of this, that it means we need to fully participate in our lives and in the lives of others. We need to acknowledge that we are a part of this greater one life and that suffering and harm exists out there and evil exists out there. And it's not enough just to point at it and label it, but we need to know it. We need to observe it. We need to actually be prepared so that when we are confronted with it, we can take action that is right action, you know, that is balanced action. And so, you know, I appreciated all of the nuances that were in that story, which is you had taken the seat in a way, you had found your ground and your stand and then took action. So just that idea of taking a seat so we can take a stand came to the forefront, because it can be difficult sometimes, you know, to even acknowledge that harm is happening. You know, we want to look the other way because we don't like what we see.
Yeah, but exactly. But I want to just interject another example and I hope it's a political one, and other people may not see the situation the same way, but it's something that in the last 24 hours I've really been struck by. Right now, there's this very, very harmful shutdown, a partial shutdown of the U.S. government going on.
Yep.
Many hundreds of thousands of people are being harmed that had no part in this. And I was struck by a comment that was made yesterday by one of the representatives in the House of Representatives saying that what they were doing to try to bring an end to this, to try to help, was they were passing bills to open different departments of the government, you know, to fund them so they could open. And they were passing exactly the wording that the Republicans in the Senate had passed already. And what he said was, he said, these are not the ideal bills that we would like, but these are ones that have already been accepted. And so they have the greatest possibility of being accepted again. And I thought that was an interesting illustration of, you know, standing, of taking a stand and not escalating, right? Not escalating by changing the language, trying to slip other things in, which would just, you know, fan the flames, but just saying, this has got to stop. And here is a bill. You've already agreed to it before. Let's pass this and let's go department by department and see how much of the government we can get opened. I think it's an interesting illustration of this concept. What do you think?
Yes, I think absolutely. And I think there are so many ways in which there could be cooperation and dialogue amongst Congress and Congress with the president. You know, at
but
the
you
end
see,
of
the day, the thing is that an individual, and this is to me, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Steve.
Nope.
This is to me the whole point about the social action point is you can't control what the other party is going to do.
Yeah.
Right. Dialogue might be great, but if the other person doesn't want to dialogue, you can't do that. So when the other person or the other party is intent on a particular action, how is it that we hold up the mirror or we say, no, it's not okay to be doing this, and here's a way out?
Yeah, yeah. It takes strategy, right? And appropriate timing are so important in all of this, and knowing one's job, you know, and also, you know, I hear in that somebody who knows their job well, who actually has taken their seat and now is taking a stand as a result of participating and generating awareness and knowing the process very well. So it really does take a certain level of participating is a really aspect of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yes. So I think.
Go on.
This is our challenge this month, you know, is to figure out how it is that we can view, not dismiss situations or say there's nothing I can do, you know, that kind of excuse for ourselves, but be able to come into a situation and dispassionately and with compassion say what's happening right now is not acceptable, no more.
Yeah.
And then offer alternatives.
Right, and bringing truths to the forefront, which is also what I'm hearing in the example of Congress, which is you have already said this will work, you know, and you realize that it can no longer be just a hang-up. You know, it can't be just for the sake of creating divisiveness. That simply won't work. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and isn't that the case? I mean, when within Congress and within our political system today, where people have got a responsibility and they've got, you know, they can change the situation, but they don't, which comes back to, you know, not to name names, but I will, but I think of Paul Ryan for so much of the last couple of years, you know, had the opportunity to speak out and for Congress to rise to the occasion and say no, and to uphold the responsibility of that leg of the government, but in action, you know, good men doing nothing, as you said in the quote, seemed to be the norm.
Well, and it's coupled with, and this is, I think, one of the reasons why this topic is so important. It's coupled with so many wrongs, one after the other, after another, after another, that people are becoming numb. You
yes.
know, it's you know, it's the hate speech every day. It's the family separation at the border. It's the referring to asylum seekers as illegal aliens. It just goes on and on and on until you kind of opt out because you just get exhausted.
Yeah.
And that's why it's important to find ways to not reach that point, not be exhausted, to actually act.
Yeah, and to find ways to act without reaction, you know, to find ways to act from a balanced and you know, with intention not to create further harm. Because as you say, we really are so distracted today. Even you look at you just visually look at a news report, and you've got so many headlines and flashes and stories going on within stories that you wonder if all of this isn't just to keep us all sort of, you know, look at this, look at that, look at this story that you almost can't focus and take action, you know, on any particular thing. And then you couple that with misinformation, and it's hard to discern, you know, what are the horrendous wrongs and what are just horrendous stories that we're hearing that are out to manipulate, and that's a part of the evil as well. So it really does come to bringing light to these harmful actions, to exposing them, to allowing the truth to come to the forefront.
And then there's the other piece, which is that if we do act, recognizing that there's a certain adrenaline rush that we can get from attacking,
yeah,
you know, from saying you're wrong, you know, and that will just further divisiveness. But I know myself, I've in my younger days, I've participated in enough marches and rallies and, you know, that kind of thing. I know how easy it is to get swept up in that kind of dynamic, particularly within a crowd. And yet it's so important that we find ways to make a stand, to say, no, this is not okay, without tipping over into that aggressive, hateful action.
Well, and we're really up against it with today's culture. You know, we're over-caffeinated, which already has our nervous system a bit wound up and ready to react. We're really bombarded. You have to work hard not to go to a movie that isn't just overtly aggressive and violent. It seems to be everywhere that the bar has really lowered in what we're exposing ourselves and our children to who are growing up with this as a norm. Video games where you actually practice gunning people down and that's the goal is to gun more people down. I watched my nephew play some of these games over Thanksgiving, and you realize that we really, it is a new dynamic, a new paradigm needs to be created that is not just about gentleness in a way of, oh, you know, I'm not going to act because, you know, there's no way to be gentle and stop an action, but there is. You know, there is a way to not be divisive and to take social action. So, you know, I know we're going to discuss a lot of this throughout the month in ways that we can do this. You know, how do we do this? What's the process? Mm-hmm. What can we do to support that within ourselves so that we ready ourselves for inclusive mm-hmm. social action? I definitely look forward to that aspect of our conversation. Dorothy, we're going to go to a break already, and when we come back, I want to hear what you think about a situation, speaking of Thanksgiving, that needed some inclusive social action with my dad at the table. It will be interesting, if you don't mind, when we come back.
To find answers to life's questions, you need to look within yourself. Dr. Glenna Rice brings your questionable conversations on Transformation Talk Radio each month. Tune in each month for insight into how you can live up to your full potential. Dr. Glenna is a physical therapist, certified Access Consciousness, and Access Body Class Facilitator. How does it get any better than this? For more information on Dr. Glenna Rice and her work, visit glennarice.com.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Love Living Radio Ignite Your Whole Being with Emily Perkins is a show for those looking to explore the sparkling magnificence of their inner selves. Tune in every second and fourth Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific as Emily sheds a radiant light of love on the beauty and power that resides within you. Discussing love in all its forms through conversations that provoke awareness, curiosity, and expansion, Emily shares the unlimited power of love. For more information or to listen to this show, visit lovelivingholistics.com.
Practice living in wholeness with the Body Tune-Up. 6 classes for $89 designed for radical self-healing and self-regeneration. Heal the deepest root of any challenge. The mental body was programmed in negativity, not good enough. Separate from source, you're too much, you'll never make it. The emotional body holds all the pain and trauma of emotional suppression, all the pain from this life and life's past. The spiritual body is the place you connect with your higher power, your higher self, with the image and likeness of the One. The physical body houses and expresses the other three bodies every day. Go to CorneliaStephanie.com. Evolve, become a practitioner. We need to heal, integrate, and bring into wholeness and harmony the physical body, addressing all the other bodies in order to live in our true, authentic nature.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
Welcome back, listeners, to our conversation on inclusive social action. I know before the break I was going to share a story about Thanksgiving, but I think I'm going to save it for next week because we're going to talk about how to prepare for inclusive social action. It's a really good example, and I would love your advice. Maybe give me a week to ponder that story. But Dorothy, you said you had an example you'd like to mention on air.
Yes. Thank you, Steve. I had an opportunity this weekend to see again the movie Hidden Figures, which if people in the audience haven't seen, I would highly recommend it. It's about three black women who were absolutely essential to the space mission of the United States, and what they went through in order to be able to make their contribution. And one of the issues that came up was there was this one woman, I mean, just a phenomenal mathematician, and her boss got angry with her because she kept disappearing. You know, like once or twice a day, she'd disappear for a half an hour, and he wanted to know where she went, and he was just really angry at her. Well, the issue was that in the building she was working in, there was no what was then called colored women's toilet, and she had to go almost a mile away and through the rain, you know, everything, in order to be able to take a restroom break. And so when she finally told him this, his response was that he went to that building where there was the sign, colored women's toilet, and he took this pole and he smashed the sign down, and there was this group watching him kind of in horror, and he said, "We all pee the same color here at NASA, and we're all going to use all the same restrooms." So he wasn't harming another person, but he was making a very dramatic statement of, this is not okay. Now, whether he examined other parts of, you know, practices, other parts of his life to look for racism, I don't know. But that, I thought, was a really good illustration, because he did it not just quietly, privately, off to the side. He did it as a social action in front of people, and he made it very clear why he was doing it and that this practice was to end, period.
And he saw, you know, he saw that it was absurd. You know, he saw the truth behind it and acted to just get rid of that. He just said, you know, that this is enough. And there's still that aspect of inclusivity there, in that it was bringing everybody, that act in the end brought everybody together. Those that didn't agree were going to have to learn to deal with it. But the majority, the number of the people, you got the sense in that scene, were like, yes, you know, long overdue is what I remember from that. But triumphant movie, you know, really cool movie indeed.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, there's this wonderful scene. I just have to share it if people haven't seen it, because you have interwoven the sexism and the racism. You know, they're both clearly issues. And the same mathematician she was supposed to be calculating the coordinates for reentry for astronaut Glenn, and she was not allowed into the security briefings to hear what was being decided. And she finally her boss said, "This is ridiculous." He took her with him into the meeting. They had this whole discussion. The personnel, military personnel around the table are saying, "Okay, so how long will it take to get the coordinates?" And the boss looks at her, hands her the chalk. She walks to the board, and within a minute, she's covered the board with mathematical calculations, and she's circled the number. She says, "This is your number." And just like that, right there in the room. It was wonderful.
And the number was correct. And you
the
know,
the number was correct, and people in the room didn't believe that she could do it, and they were quite willing to continue a practice that would have excluded her ability to make that contribution.
And what's amazing to me is that, you know, after I saw that film, was why did I not know about these wonderful women? And mm-hmm. and you wonder, you ask yourself, you know, you would like to think that it's not, but could it be that just this that sexism, racism, it's still aspects of it, you know, linger, and that mm-hmm. could why this story didn't come to the forefront until now, when somebody mm-hmm. literally says, the Oscars are so white. Where's stories about people of color? They you know, mm-hmm. there are amazing stories out there because there are amazing human beings out there. Just as he knew and experienced and worked with an amazing human being, it didn't matter that she was a woman or that she was black. She was creative, intelligent. She was an asset, you know, to NASA. And that was all that mattered. And it was other people not seeing that in her and the system not allowing that to come to the forefront that needed to be corrected. So indeed, that's a wonderful example of inclusive social action, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to be, I will wager you that throughout this month, we're going to be coming back to this concept that we've talked about a number of times before, and that is the moral compass.
Yes.
That we, because recognizing these situations and determining what is a compassionate, forceful action is going to demand strengthening our moral compass.
And another thing that I sense will come to the forefront is that one must lead by example. And in yes. order to do so, you must have your moral compass, you know, due north. I mean, you've really got to have it calibrated, right? Because mm-hmm. that is so important. And that is an aspect of the inclusivity that is so attractive to me. You know, that as we learn to say no, as we learn to confront these, you know, instances of harm, be it so small in just a criticism, a judgment, or a comment from someone we know or a passerby, to something on a grand scale. As we lead by example, as we recognize it as a harm, and as we say no in a way that is productive, harmless, inclusive, others will join in because they sense the righteousness, the right of it all. They sense truth being revealed, and everybody wants to be a part of that. So it is so important. Moral compass is going to be important, and really knowing oneself and leading by example, I sense.
Mm-hmm.
So Dorothy, we're about at the end of the show already. That went so fast. I have a sense this whole month is going to go very fast.
That's right. Well, it's a good lead into next week, when we're going to be talking about how we prepare to act in a way that is inclusive and that is social action.
Really?
So I look forward to that discussion as well, Steve.
Wonderful. All right, listeners, we hope you join us. Thanks again for being with us in this new year, and we will see you next week. Thanks so much, Dorothy.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to purposeful living and practical spirituality. Join hosts Steve Kramer and Dorothy Riddle as they shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in your everyday life. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more, visit spiritfireradio.com.